the many cool things about getting to serve here at Boone United Methodist Church is every summer, almost every summer, I forgot we had one summer we didn't, but most summers that since I've been here, we've had a Duke Seminary intern with us. And we're so, we do have Duke fans here, yes, I get, I'm not in that fight, so, but we're just grateful that I don't have to worry about my team allegiance with most of you guys, so. We're so grateful to have Duke Divinity School interns with us, and we've been really blessed this year to have Daniel Phoebus with us. Daniel has become involved in so much in the life of our church. He went on the mission trip to Dothan. He has met with many people in the life of our congregation, and we have learned through him what a joyous way for us to grow in our ministry is what Daniel and other interns have brought to us at the cutting edge of theological education. And I know we're so grateful that Daniel has been with us over the past few months. Next Sunday's his last Sunday with us. But we are so blessed to have this opportunity right now to have Daniel share from his heart the message for today. So Daniel, thank you for being here. Thank you for what you're about to present to us as you deliver the sermon this morning. So thanks.
Thank you, Ed. And thank you. Grace to you from our risen Lord Jesus. My name is Daniel Phoebus, as Ed has alluded, and it's my honor and privilege to proclaim the good word in your midst. It's already been confirmed so many times as we've worshiped together, and I just wanted, before we get into the scripture and the sermon, I just wanted to say, as I look around the room, I see God in you. In each and every one of your faces, I see God in you. And I know that you don't like, typically, sometimes people don't like when the preacher makes you turn to your neighbor, but I'm going to be annoying. And would you turn to at least one neighbor and say, I see God in you? Okay, I thank you for indulging me. I just I wanted to properly locate ourselves within the household of God, that we know that we're surrounded by witnesses all around us. So as we continue our sermon series on the prayers of the early church, and we work through the book of Acts, this morning our scripture lesson comes from Acts chapter 7, verse 59. Hear what the Spirit is saying. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. I have an honest question for you this morning, and hopefully I can receive an honest answer. It's a question you might never have thought of before, but the question I want to put before you this morning is, do you want to be a saint? Do you want to be a saint? I said, maybe you've never thought of that before. Maybe you're saying, well, preacher, I thought we were Methodist, and I thought that saints was some of that Catholic nonsense that they do over across town. I didn't know that we did that. Or I want to assure you that it's not nonsense, and we do it as well. Or maybe you've thought, you know, I've heard of saints, and maybe I've even met a saint in real life, maybe in my Sunday school class or in my community group, or maybe there's a saint in my family. But, you know, those are the varsity Christians. And I really just want to be the JV towel boy. It's a lot less effort, and I'm really not qualified for that role. So anything God will give me, as long as it puts my name on the roster, that's all right. You thought, I mean, if I said that thing to him that one time, and man, the way I treated her, if God read through my Twitter feed, I'd never make it in the good book. But I want to assure you today that you don't need to just try to be a water boy or a towel boy on the JV squad, that you can be a saint, that all of us can and should be saints. And you might be asking, well, how? Don't worry. I'm not going to ask you to give a certain amount of money or to sign up for a certain amount of service projects. I'm not even going to require that you be a good person. The way that we're going to talk about today to be a saint is shown to us in the martyrdom of Saint Stephen. You become a saint by praying like Jesus. By praying like Jesus. And I'm going to be going, I read the Bible this week, y'all. I know sometimes it doesn't sound like the preacher reads the Bible before he gets up and preaches the sermon, but I did read the Bible this week, and we're going to be reading through in some text. So if you're the kind of person that it helps you to read along, I'll give those passages so you can read along with me. So we're going to look at the prayers of Stephen, and I want to look at the prayers of Stephen and the life of Stephen. So the prayers of Saint Stephen, in chapter 7, verse 59, we see that as Stephen is dying, he's being stoned to death by the assembly, he prays, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And then further down in verse 60, as he's dying, he cries out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Now, that might sound vaguely familiar to some of us. See, Stephen is not just coming up with his own prayers, though that's perfectly fine. He's not just reading prayers out of a good book. Stephen is praying the prayers of Jesus that Jesus prayed when he died. "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." If you remember when Jesus was hung on the tree on Calvary Hill, what did he pray? "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And as his accusers, as his killers mocked him as he died, what did he pray? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And we see Stephen prays, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Stephen is praying the prayers of Jesus. But he's not just praying the prayers of Jesus. If we go back to Acts chapter 6, we see that Stephen is elected a deacon of the early church. And the early church needed deacons, like we need Patty, our deacon, to help bridge the gap between the church and the world. And the apostles, right, they were overwhelmed by the number of people who needed help. So they elected deacons, servants, to distribute the material wealth of the church to the widows and to the poor. And so Stephen is doing that, and certain religious folks come along and accuse him of blaspheming God and the scriptures. So they arrest him, and they put him on trial before the high council. And while he's on trial before the high council, he proclaims the truth about Jesus. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that the Lord's Messiah. And it makes the religious folks so mad that they kill him. That sounds familiar. If you go back to Luke chapter 4, Jesus is in the synagogue in his hometown, and he takes out the Torah portion for that day, and he reads it from the prophet Isaiah, proclaiming that he's come to proclaim good news to the poor and recovery of sight to the blind, to proclaim the Jubilee, the year of the Lord's favor. And it makes the folks so mad they try to kill him then and there. But it's not his time, so he walks through them. But then, in Jerusalem, there's some religious folks who accused Jesus of blaspheming God and the scriptures. So they arrest him. And they put him on trial before the high council. And while he's on trial before the high council, he proclaims the truth about himself, that he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that he is the Lord's Messiah. And that makes them so mad that they what? They kill him. See, what Stephen is doing and what Luke, the author of Acts, is showing us is that St. Stephen doesn't just remember some prayers, that the way St. Stephen is praying makes him live like Jesus. There's a Latin phrase from the wisdom of the church, lex orandi, lex credendi. Lex orandi, lex credendi. It means that the rule or the law of prayer is the law of faith. The law of prayer is the law of faith. Another way of saying that is the way you pray is the way you live. The way you pray is the way you live. Friends, Saint Stephen is not a saint because he died for what he believed in. Many heroic people have done that and not been saints. He's not a saint because he knew a good story, though knowing the story of Jesus is very good. He's not even a saint because he helped the widows and the poor. Saint Stephen is a saint because he lived the life of Jesus. He prayed the prayers of Jesus, and that transformed his life to where he lived with such truth, with such holiness, that he died knowing that he had already died with his Savior and that he was going to live the new life in the resurrection. And he lived the new life in the resurrection then and there. And we can live the new life of the resurrection here and now. What this means for us practically in our prayers is that we can't just get hung up on praying for ourselves all the time. Has anyone ever had a phone call with a friend and it's about 45 minutes and the only thing you've said about yourself is hello? But you know what their third cousin ate for breakfast yesterday. I imagine God might feel that way about me sometimes. He certainly felt that way about me this week preparing for this sermon. But if we only pray about ourselves, if we only pray about our lives, then, and we don't pray for our neighbors, we don't pray for those who accuse us and those that would kill us, then we aren't able to witness to the world the love of God for a neighbor, the love of God for even those who killed him and reviled him. On the flip side, we can't just pray for other people. If we only pray for other people, thinking, well, I'm good. I'm up to date on my pledge card. I'm in maybe the coolest Sunday school class in the church. I went to Dothan and got a sunburn. I mean, maybe I'll pray next week. Or they need it more than me. Or if we don't pray about ourselves because we think, well, you know, her mom's got cancer and his son just died. They just got laid off. Surely my prayers aren't big enough. I think God's answering boxes is full. But if we don't pray about ourselves, if we don't pray with St. Stephen, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit, if we don't lift our whole lives up to God, then we can never hope to fully know God with the depth of love and knowledge we were made to know God. And you see, if we put these two things together, if we put praying for our neighbors and lifting up ourselves to God, some of my Sunday school superstars have already figured out what that sounds like. It's the golden rule. to love God with our whole selves and to love our neighbor as ourselves. If what St. Stephen is showing us, because he lives the life of Jesus, because he prays the prayers of Jesus, the golden rule is just a rule of his life. The way he prays shows that. The way he lives shows that. The way he dies shows that. That he loves and knows God, and that he loves his neighbor as himself, even those that would accuse him. And you can do that too, because this is not just the pattern of people in the Bible, but there's a story of another fella who did this. Once upon a time, there was a boy who lived by the sea. And he had a good life in the village where he grew up. And when he was a young man, about the age of 16, some pirates raided the shore where he lived. And they kidnapped him. And they forced him into slavery. And they took him to a foreign land. And in the foreign land of his slavery, he was forced to work as a shepherd. And as a shepherd, he learned to care for the flock, to tend the sheep. And for 6 years, he worked hard and he worked diligently. And after those 6 years, he escaped and he made it back to his home. But when he was in the land of his birth, he was struck by the power of the gospel, by the love of God. He was compelled by God's Holy Spirit to go back and proclaim the good news to the people who had enslaved him. So he set sail and he went back to the foreign land of his slavery. And he proclaimed the good news of Jesus in their midst. And it's accounted to that he would go to the top of a mounty crag, a rocky mount, and he would climb up barefoot. And he would fast and pray for 40 days and 40 nights, communing with God and weathering the elements. And by his prayers and by the power of the Holy Spirit, he did many miracles in that foreign land. He cast out demons and he converted people to true faith in Jesus. He introduced even his enslavers so that his enslavers and most of the inhabitants of that land came to know the one true God. Perhaps you know this land. Today we call it Ireland. And the man's name is Patrick. What St. Patrick shows us is that with St. Stephen, that living the life of Jesus changes us. We do things that no one else would ever do, that we would never do otherwise. And that we can be holy, not just in the way good people are holy, but we can be holy like God is holy. We could be made perfect in love in this life. And it all starts on our knees by praying like Jesus so that we can live like Jesus. So friends, why can't we be those people? Why can't Watauga County, why can't the high country be a place where folks live like Jesus because we pray like Jesus? I warn you, though, it's dangerous. You will be transformed, and you might just end up pulling the rug out from under yourself in your old life. But you will be changed for the better. You will be made holy in love, and you will transform the world. In the words of the theologian David Lowes Watson, you just might redeem the cosmos. Let us be those people. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.